Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? Happy Monday.
Good morning. Happy Monday. I'm good. I wonder if maybe we should talk more about Rick Barnes, Vols basketball.
Yeah, we could
program moving forward.
We're really going to be
the best team in the state.
That today. Well, probably is that. No question about it. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Doing well this morning. I would like to start a petition to add a day in between Saturday and Sundays. Don't know how we go about doing that, but I think that would be helpful to everyone. And I definitely could use that right now.
So 8 days a week or?
8 days a week and a 3 day weekend every single weekend.
I mean, I guess you could just make either Thursday or Monday part of the weekend, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
Could do that.
Could do that.
Yeah. You mean?
I mean, I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, me too. Or just maybe for our work. So, Chase, if you're up, take notes.
See what you can do.
Yeah. He better be listening.
Better be. What a weekend for the professional sporting teams here in this town. We'll get into the Predators and their loss against the Senators and then a subsequent roster move yesterday that's got the people feeling some type of way on the Twitterverse right now. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show, but we begin with the Tennessee Titans and the 36-22 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that got absolutely destroyed 40-14 by the Detroit Lions the week before.
Who are great, though.
Who are apparently pretty good, even though Joe Rexroad refuses to acknowledge it as we move forward here.
Restore the roar, Rexroad.
The roar has been restored by Dan Campbell.
It's classic.
But the Jags come in yesterday. They win 36-22. Trevor Lawrence looks great. The Titans have four turnovers yesterday, and all of a sudden, they've lost three games in a row for the first time since 2018, and their record has now dropped to 7-6. And, Joe, they could have, for all intents and purposes, wrapped up the AFC South yesterday, and instead they did not. Jacksonville wins, and I don't know. Based on the way the Titans are playing right now, it could get pretty interesting coming down the stretch for this team.
First of all, a couple things. Thanks for saying all intents and purposes correctly.
You're welcome.
A lot of people say all intents and purposes.
I know.
Also, wait, did you just raise your hand? You say all intents and purposes? Let's nip that in the butt.
Yeah, you know I'm not good with those things.
Also, the Lions, it's classic, man, because they're going to get real close, and then they're going to blow it, and they're just going to have a worse draft pick. But it's just classic.
Just a hater.
Well, I've seen it so many times, and
their draft pick's going to be fine. They've got the Rams pick.
Well, they have that pick, yeah. But, I mean, what if they had two good picks?
That
they could botch two good high picks. As for the Titans, this is a devastating loss in terms of what it means in the next month. And basically, they could have made the last month meaningless.
Yes.
They could have. You win yesterday, and you really, in fact, I believe they could have clinched the division before kicking off in L.A. Sunday had things worked out for them. Had they won yesterday. And then you have four games to just, like, get everybody healthy and play whoever and whatever. And now they may have to take it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
They may have to take it all the way to the end, and they may be in an AFC South showdown game at Jacksonville at the end. We talked about last week, you know, if they lose, and it still kind of seemed like, eh. But now that the Jaguars have come in there and absolutely kicked their butt all over the field, they could absolutely be in that situation. And first three-game losing streak since 2018. And they've had some blowout losses, obviously. They got blown out by the Eagles, blown out by the Bills. But yesterday, when things started going bad on them, I thought they just really – they did not seem like the same team that they have been for years. a tough team that can, you know, can roll with the punches and counterpunch, and they were just lost against the Jaguars at home.
Well, and Trevor Lawrence looked awesome yesterday, 30 of 42, 368 yards, which is a career high, by the way, and three touchdowns, no picks for him yesterday. They didn't have a person all day long that could cover Evan Engram. I got to say, on the list of things I thought might happen, the Evan Engram breakout game was not very high on that list, but 11 catches, 162 yards, and two touchdowns for Evan Engram yesterday. And like you said, I mean, the crazy part about this game to me, Joe, was I felt like the Titans, for the most part, were pretty much in total control of the game in the first half. And then you just start turning the ball over, and it let Jacksonville hang around. And the second half, they just totally got punched directly in the face by the Jaguars. And before you knew it, they're down 36-14 in the game, and the game was over. The first half, I mean, Derrick Henry, what do you have, 96 yards rushing in the first quarter?
Yep.
I mean, they were doing what they wanted to do offensively. I thought the first drive for the Titans was really good, and the turnovers just killed them yesterday. And uncharacteristic turnovers, I mean, well, I guess one of them's not really uncharacteristic. Dennis Daly gets torched. Tannehill gets smoked from behind, fumbles the ball. Obviously, I think a miscommunication between Tannehill and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine on the interception. And then you got Derrick Henry fumbling the ball again on the reception. And then whatever in the world they tried to do on that last one with the fake direct snap, we'll snap it to Henry when you're down 19 points. It was just the turnovers absolutely destroyed this team yesterday. And then defensively, Joe, once Jacksonville got in a rhythm offensively, they had no answer. And I got to tell you, I know that there were a lot of injuries that they were dealing with yesterday defensively, but man, does this team different on defense without Danico Autry. Holy crap. It is way different.
Yeah, and again, and without him and with Jeff Simmons, I don't think himself. He downplayed that after the game again, but I mean, I don't expect him to sit there and talk about his ankle all the time. But it certainly looks like, you know, he's not as effective. Those turnovers, like you said, one of them strictly a personnel issue, and it's just, I mean, Dennis Daly, as time goes on, week after week, he is distancing himself from all other left tackles in this league in terms of pressures and sacks allowed. He's just the worst in the league. So that's just the reality for this team. Obviously not getting better because, you know, they don't have anybody that they would put in there, or if they did, they would. They did have LaRaven Clark out there with like this unbalanced line look quite a bit yesterday, which was interesting. I guess like if you don't have a good left tackle, put all of them out there. But yeah, the Westbrook, I mean, they were in control, and it's like that's just it's a communication, but kind of like a communication, you could say like maybe a focus type thing. I mean, just
you can't have that.
You can't have week that lack of precision. Yeah. And then, I mean, the Henry one, that was to me the key play of the whole game, because at that point they're up 14-13, and they're at worst at that point they're going to be up 17-13 at the half. That's the worst case. And there's a good chance with that time that they would be up 21-13 at the half. And look, it's a really good play by the defense. It's a hard hit. It's unfortunate that he coughed it up. We're not used to seeing Derrick Henry cough it up, and we've seen it a little bit this year. But that play changed the game. You know, you can look at that play itself and say, hey, you also have to tip the cap to the opponent. The direct snap thing, first of all, the play call, dude, like you have to just
so
throw.
Stupid.
Like and if you look at that play again, I know it's like whenever these plays get blown up that Todd Downing calls, it's like you can look at the film and say, maybe it wouldn't. I mean, it got like 2 yards. Like, I mean, then you have just the focus, again, issue, the lack of precision of the snap, not catching it. It's just the whole thing was a disaster. That was, again, one of those, like, there's just no need for that call. But the overall performance, again, was a team that didn't respond like we're used to seeing Titans teams respond. And I will absolutely take that to this week and ask, okay, so you have this massive news story that shakes the entire NFL, and then you're asked about it all week, and your owner has said basically that she doesn't think you're good.
Right.
Does that have any impact on a team's performance? I can't prove it does, but I can't ignore what happened this week and then the performance that resulted from it.
Well, it's interesting because I agree with you. I would also say they started the game great. I mean, their first drive was really good, and they marched right up and down the field offensively. I think on the first drive, they had 5 passes, 5 runs. They scored the touchdown. You're up in the game. Like I said, it felt like they were in total control of the game for the most part. I mean, the defense was playing well other than, again, Evan Engram just all of a sudden going nuts out there. But the turnovers, I mean, they just gifted them points on the turnovers in the first half. And then Jacksonville gets momentum. And the thing that really stands out to me, and I think you're exactly right, like when things started to go the other way on the Titans, I'm not going to say they folded and they just stopped trying out there because I don't buy that. No. But they just – it looked like they were a boat taken on water, and there's nothing they could do about it. And you don't typically see that from a Mike Vrabel coach team, and we saw that yesterday, especially against a team like the Jags.
Right. So is it roster issues that are Robinson's fault? Sure. Is it injuries, you know, a lot of which are no one's fault? Yeah. There's a bunch of factors. But it's just been, a terrible week. And I have no idea. We'll never know the alternative reality of nothing happening and just a team that wants to bounce back from embarrassing loss to Philly and how they perform. I don't know. Again, I don't think they're out there like thinking about John Robinson yesterday and like that's messing them up. And you're right. They started well. They came out like that angry team. It was weird to see them. Yeah, no way they quit or anything like that. That's way too far. But just not respond well. It's just something we haven't seen. Again, it's the first 3-game losing streak since 2018. I know part of that losing streak was a 21-0 loss at home to the Ravens, which was just a awful. Like it was
terrible.
Like, they couldn't block anyone. I think Mariota.
Darius Smith made himself a lot of money in that game.
Yes, he did. Mariota got sacked 1 million times, 900,000 times by him, yeah. Darius Smith. But there's a little bit, it reminds me a little. Now, that team did respond from that, but this team right now is in some serious trouble.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on the Jags beatdown of the Titans yesterday. 36-22, the final score at Nissan Stadium. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that coming up next. Make sure you give the gift of Preds hockey this holiday season with a Smashville stocking stuffer presented by 47 Brand and Local IQ. This includes 2 hockey tickets, a Preds 47 Brand hat, and a $20 food voucher, all starting at just $79. Visit NashvillePredators.com/stocking for more info, or check out the 5-game pick plan presented by Hattie B's. Pick any 5 games and select your seats, plus receive a Preds car flag, and if my thing would load back up, a $10 gift card to Hattie B's. Visit NationalPredators.com/tickets for details. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Mike said last week he talked to you guys about being at a crossroads and kind of making a statement. Collectively, it didn't seem like a very good team answer today. Are you surprised by that?
Surprised by how? What do you mean?
Well, it seemed like all of you last week were saying, hey, we're definitely going to come back, answer it with a kind of definitive team statement, and instead of maybe the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we just didn't do what we needed to do, to be able to win the game. And they came out and played better. And like I said, you turn the ball over and give them opportunities, then that's put us in a bad spot. I'm gonna hold myself accountable always, and I got to take care of the ball and do my job a little bit better. Just continue to work and make each other better throughout the week and, try to go out and win the game. It's things bad right now. We lost 3, but just try to stay positive as possible.
That was Derrick Henry yesterday after the 36-22 loss for the Titans against the Jacksonville Jags. We were taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You can already tell some of those days where it's going to be a day on the text line. Looking forward to it. We appreciate your text already.
Yeah.
Lots of them rolling in.
Interesting ones. You have Ben saying, I thought they played well.
Played all right yesterday.
Will's already mad about the this is going to be a thing today. The whole Robinson, J-Rob, Amy Adams Strong, team, football, you know, like how do you separate it, all that stuff. If you think there's just no link at all, well, we can disagree. We are allowed to disagree with each other today.
That's correct.
Let's do it in a friendly way.
We'll continue to take your text, 615-737-1025. I mean, the turnovers yesterday, the story to me, you turn the ball over four times, you're going to have a hard time winning an NFL football game when that's the case. I go back to the first one where Tannehill just gets leveled on that play, and it was just amazing to watch, Joe. I mean, they showed the replay, and you've got Chigakonkwo out there chipping before he goes on his route. And he chips, and Trayvon Walker still gets around the corner and still gets right by Dennis Daly and just smokes Ryan Tannehill from behind. It was unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't much of a chip.
It was not.
I mean, there was still, I mean, it was
at least got
some
a body
attempt.
On him. Yeah.
You would think that with a little, a tiny little bit of salt that maybe he wouldn't just go through Daly like he's Casper the Ghost, but he
you would
did.
Think.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, it's just that's the reality of the situation. I think at this point we figured out. Like, they're not – like, LaRaven Clark's not going to go in. If he did, it probably would be worse. Dylan Radins, they've pretty much dismissed that idea. He's a reserve guard. So, this is the left tackle situation the rest of the way. It's not good.
Four sacks yesterday for the Jags. 9 quarterback hits. 9. Again, your quarterback's just getting – absolutely mauled out there.
And the
on
Titans,
a weekly basis.
No sacks and 1.
Yes.
1 quarterback hit for a guy who went 30 for 42 for 368 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, they did get there a couple of times, and some of that was on some blitzes that they called. Like, Amani Hooker went right around the corner one time, and he had Trevor Lawrence lined up. And Lawrence, who apparently has been dealing with a toe injury and was questionable, although he didn't look like there was much of a toe injury yesterday.
Seemed okay.
He did a great job of just kind of getting out of trouble yesterday. And like you said, I mean, Titans didn't generate much of a pass rush at all. The Jags all over Tannehill yesterday. And that's not the only reason. You know, we talked about it. The interception can't happen. Whether that's Tannehill's fault or lack of communication or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine's fault, which is what it looked like after the play because Tannehill was very upset after that play was done. You can't have stuff like that in week 14. Like, if it's week 1, week 2, rookie wide receiver, that's fine. Week 14 in that spot, like, you can't do that. And it's just – it kills you when you have turnovers like that.
Right. And it's Tannehill, who's been very good at not turning it over this year. And it's Westbrook-Ikhine, who plays every position, is a guy now who has the full respect of everyone, is a guy you expect to be focused and not – make a mistake like that if it is indeed on him. Tannehill clearly thought so. I mean, it looked like it was basically just a hot read, and he didn't
never turn around.
It was a hot read. Yeah. You can't – I mean, like, the lack of focus helped turn the game on them because everybody who said – and you were right, and I agree. Vrabel brought it up too. I asked Vrabel about the distraction yesterday. He said – he immediately pointed out how they started. They did. They started well. They looked like they were on their way to kicking Jacksonville's butt and having sort of a medicinal kind of game. And then you're fine. You have a month to, like, get yourself ready for the playoffs, you know, and rest whoever you need to. So lack of focus, weird mistakes from people who you don't normally see weird mistakes from, flip the game. And then I'll go to Gunner on the text line who said, the roster's why J-Rob got fired, but I haven't seen a Titan team with no fight like that since Wizenhunt. Terrible, no toughness at all. It was – not what we're used to seeing from this team in terms of pushback. You know, look, sometimes you're just overwhelmed by a better team. Buffalo, Philly, they're just a lot better than you, and they get it rolling, and they kind of just hit the knockout punch. But Jacksonville in your building should not do that.
No, and it was both sides of the ball as the game went on. I mean, we're sitting here talking about the Titans' turnovers, and that's, to me, the story of the game yesterday. But also, like, at some point, you needed the defense to turn the tide the other way, and they couldn't do it. And, you know, you were missing a lot of guys yesterday. Christian Fulton couldn't play. David Long Jr. was out. Obviously, you didn't have Danico Autry in there yesterday. And we've talked about what an absence he is for not having him in there. It's really amazing to me, Joe. And it's, you know, the Bengals game, we've talked about it. They only gave up 20 points. They did have some moments in that game where they gave up some big plays. But the last 2 weeks – I mean, their defense has just gotten shelled out there against Philly and now against Jacksonville as well. And I'm not putting that all on like the absence of Danico Autry. They get some problems in the secondary right now. But, you know, Gunnar also said on the text line, and I agree, like teams really are not trying to run the ball that much against the Titans anymore. There's not much points to it. I mean, they're still stopping the run really well. I mean, ETN had 17 carries yesterday. A lot of those came as that game was winding down. But teams kind of – it kind of feels like they know right now. Like, even Philadelphia last week, they're such a good rushing team, and it almost felt like they're like, you know, we'll just throw the ball. And that's what the Jags did yesterday.
Yeah, and funny, too, because Philadelphia yesterday went right back to just running all over it, just ran all over the Giants. And that's what they do. It's hurt Hurts and Sanders, you know, and they have that bounce. Because the Titans are like, yeah, I think we'll just go ahead and do this. And some of that is injuries. And the Titans are, you know, they've got to bring new guys in because even Trey Avery and Fulton are out and Molden. I don't think we're going to see Molden again. So some of it is injury, but it's still like, I mean, some of the plays they're giving up, boy, and you have a chance to make some plays too. I mean, Roger McCreary, just catch that one.
Yeah.
Catch that one and don't let it turn into a touchdown. And who knows how this game changed. It's still in the NFL. You can point to like 3-4 plays in a game that you might have a totally different outcome without them. But again, the Titans just, once it got rolling for the Jags, I mean, that fumble by Henry, the result in possession and the two after that, I mean, it was a knife through hot butter.
Well, and yesterday, beyond just the impact of now and this season, I did watch the game yesterday and think to myself, man, if this is the version of Trevor Lawrence that we're going to see as they move forward here, this could be a very interesting time for the Titans in this division as they move ahead here.
Right.
He looked awesome yesterday.
He did. He did. And he has a coach who is, you know, a Super Bowl winning legitimate coach who's not going to do a bunch of goofy crap. And, I mean, I think that you can see, you look at these teams, you can see a future where the Jags are the best team in this division for a stretch to come. The Titans are still the clear favorite to win the AFC South.
Yes.
And they better, you know. Yes. But, I mean, if you somehow blow this and squander this, I mean, if this team doesn't win the AFC South, where does that rank among franchise just –
It's up there.
Choke jobs.
I think it would be at the top. I mean, I think it would. And, look, I still think that they're going to ultimately win the AFC South. I think they're going to get in there. I think it'll happen. But I will say, if they play the way they've played the last 2 weeks, I mean, it's going to be hard to beat anybody. By the way, the Chargers just beat the Dolphins last night, and that's who you got coming up next. And if you're Justin Herbert right now, we'll get to this later this week, but you just got to be looking at this secondary and salivating with what has happened to them the last couple of weeks. I mean, I can tell you the game plan for the Chargers right now. They're going to throw the ball about 45 times coming up on Sunday. I would. I don't know why you wouldn't, based on what you've seen the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Eckler's great in space. Throw him the ball. You can still utilize your running back, but no question. It's because it is good. It's important to stop the run and be able to stop the run and make teams one-dimensional, but if they're just like, we like that dimension. Yeah. We'll just stay in the dimension and just play pitch and catch all day. And, again, it's just the inability to affect quarterbacks all of a sudden. Danico Autry is huge, without question. But, look,
it can't just be that, though.
No. Like, well, look, I mean, David Long Jr., who's on IR, I mean, he makes a lot of plays for this team. He gets to a lot of spots that other people don't, and they absolutely miss him and will until he's gone. Again, it's just like, I mean, the next few games, you could just sit Simmons for a game or two. And Autry, take your time. And now you have got to grind it out to not blow this thing.
615-737-1025. We'll open up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Your thoughts on the Titans' loss to the Jags yesterday, 615-737-1025. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Well, there's a lot of good things out there today. We moved the football, got some stops early. I thought how we came out and played early was positive. Not good enough with the turnovers, not good enough to start the second half defensively. So we'll get after a lot of those things corrected.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday. The Titans lose 36-22 at home against the Jags, which, by the way, snapped an 8-game home winning streak against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's been a long time since the Jags have come into Nissan Stadium and won a game, but they did yesterday, and they won in impressive fashion. Just a total butt-kicking yesterday in the second half from Jacksonville. And I said it earlier, when you turn the ball over four times in an NFL game, you're going to put yourself behind the eight ball and make it really tough on yourself to win that game. But that's just one that stings yesterday, and it stings for multiple reasons. I think you've hit on the main one. You win the game yesterday, the division race is over. I mean, Jacksonville would be officially eliminated had you won that game yesterday. And then you basically just need the Colts to lose at some point after that, or you win another game. And let me just tell you, the way the Colts have been playing lately, they're going to lose a few more games. So, I mean, you had a chance basically to walk into these final few weeks here, get rested, get healthy, try to make a run in the playoffs. I know that seems laughable at this point, but it is. It is what it is. Like, you have a chance to play a home playoff game if you win that game yesterday and then see where the chips fall after that. And they still probably are going to end up playing a home playoff game and get there, but, man, that's a missed opportunity yesterday.
Yes. I mean, Liam on the text saying, playoffs! Whatever they thought they were, and says, when the division's irrelevant, this team isn't going anywhere.
Well, it's not irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant. I mean, again, if right, let's, you know, how many teams in the AFC believe they can win a Super Bowl? I mean, a handful, maybe? How many teams in the NFC believe they can win a Super Bowl? Probably two should, okay?
I would say three.
Who's your third? Do you think Minnesota thinks they can?
I think Cowboys think they can.
Oh, yeah, I
think.
All right,
we'll give the Niners think they can, and I think the Eagles think they can.
So the other team should just if you're not a legit Super Bowl contender, stay home. The Titans sure as heck weren't in 2019. I mean, they barely, you know, get into the playoffs, and, you know, then they get to the title. Like, you want to get to the tournament. It matters, and you don't know what's going to happen. If the, you know, if the Titans, a lot of things broke their way, they could be competitive even in a playoff game at home. So think about winning the division is irrelevant. Think about not winning the division. What is that? Think about not winning the division at this point. You know, and I understand. I mean, it just feels so different because, again, the in-season firing of a GM just makes everything feel different. I mean, like it or not, it does. But the bottom line is this team still was in complete control, and like you said, they could have basically ended it yesterday, and it does still matter, and now they're going to have to scrap. I mean, you could lose out the next three, and the Jags could win out, and you still are not eliminated, so that's good.
That is good.
Yeah, good for you. But again, like, you're going to have to. Now you're going to a good team on the road, and this is one of those games like last year at LA. They just went out there and kicked their butt. I don't have that same confidence right now that this team has those answers, but we'll see. Every week is different.
Joe from Maryland on the text line says, this team is the result of poor free agent signings and trades. Bud, Dupree, Woods, Daly, AJ, and a lack of early draft picks not being on the field. Since 2019, the Titans have had one first-round pick on the field and one second-round pick out there. Also, Vrabel being loyal to Downing is going to be his downfall. If it takes both of them to get fired for Downing to go, then maybe it's time to explore that option, too.
Fire everybody.
Oh boy.
Fire everybody.
Listen, I didn't think we were going to get a fire Vrabel this morning.
Hey.
That's spicy.
Sure. Fire everybody. Can't fire the owner. As someone who followed the Detroit Lions for many years, let me promise you, you can't fire the owner. Colts fans, Jim Irsay out here doing weird stuff, can't fire the owner.
I will say, based on what happened last week, I'm not taking anything off the table with this Titans team. I'm really not.
Look, Joe from Maryland at the Vrabel thing, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not happening, nor should it. But I will say that the Downing thing,
if the season goes
at some point, it's going to have to come up, and it's
look. I'll say it: if the season goes how we all anticipate it going, and that is a probable win of the division and then a probable loss in the first round of the playoffs. Todd Downing's not going to be offensive coordinator next year. He's just not. I don't know how in the world you could justify bringing him back if you're the Titans. I don't. I mean, the offense, and I know there's every excuse in the world that we could throw on it, and some of them are absolutely valid. I get it. But there's no way to me you could watch this offense the last 2 years and then bring him back after that. There's no way.
Okay, tell that to
Vrabel. I'm just saying.
Okay, you may be right. You may be right. This is a very interesting one because, I mean, Amy Adams Strunk, not afraid to fire someone. We get that.
Yes.
So, but meanwhile, though, Ray Rob becomes the Mike Tater. So, are you giving him an ultimatum now? Now you basically are like, this is yours. Is there an ultimatum now? Like, Todd, you got to do something better than Todd. Maybe Vrabel decides on his own.
I don't know if things go that way that we just laid out there, I don't know how you could justify it to yourself bringing him back. Like, what would you have seen out of Todd Downing and be like, yeah, that's our guy?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot more information Vrabel has than we have.
Of course. Of course.
And he could be sitting there and be like, blame it all on personnel maybe every one of these goofy calls late in the games where it was like, yes, this is the time to do that. Or maybe he's saying, Todd, right now, I want that direct snap. Let's go. This will really throw a curveball. Maybe it's Vrabel. It's his fault. Maybe he's the one that is forcing these stupid plays to be called. And so why would he fire the guy whose fault it isn't? We don't know.
Hey, they did have.
We don't know the information.
They did have a play call I liked yesterday, even though it didn't work. The flea flicker on the first play of the game I enjoyed.
Did you?
Anytime we could have flea flicker, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina was about double as covered as a receiver could ever be. But
I mean, Robert Woods wasn't. Tannehill should have thrown him the ball.
On that play,
he's wide open, right across the middle. Just throw him the ball.
But if you're going to do a flea flicker, go deep.
That's true.
Liam responds to me, good point. We might be competitive in a playoff game if we get lucky. Sounds great. Liam, I detect sarcasm.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend LD from McMinnville. LD, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Watching the game yesterday, and the wife wrapping gifts, watching the game with me, and to be honest, she couldn't care less. There you go, Joe. Couldn't. She couldn't care less about the – yes, she couldn't care less about the game or the roster. But I was trying to explain to her that this roster is just, you know, decimated, right? I mean, they're injury riddled. They're down to their third and fourth level players. So my thing is that, and I like to use this a lot, but if the team is not on point and things aren't going perfect, when you're playing with that level, I think, of players, I mean, it's hard to compete with a team who has competent players. So I just felt like yesterday with all the turnovers, it just snowballed on them, and there was no returning from what happened. And it's unfortunate. I mean, I'm numb to this now with this team, and I hate it. But I think, like you guys have already touched on, it's going to be rough and very interesting moving forward. I appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks for the call, LD. I mean, yeah, the injuries are a problem, and the roster's in rough shape, and we've had people talk about it. I mean, that's why we're having a conversation about what we talked about last week with the general manager. Yeah, I totally understand that. You know, the turnovers are things that you just can't have. And this team, the margin for error all year long, Joe, has been pretty small with this team. I mean, it is a minute margin for error right now with the injuries that they have. It's not good. It's hard to feel pretty good about, like, they played the Chargers this week, and I know it's Brandon Staley and the Chargers, but, like, right now with this team playing the way they played the last couple of weeks, I don't feel good about them against anybody right now. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. You could bottle up what they did for a lot of the first half. That was pretty good. But ultimately, it's like defenses are going to figure out matchups that are really good for them. And they just sit back there and throw it. They're not worried anymore about the Titans affecting their quarterback, which was easily the best part of the Titans team earlier this season, right? So if you tell me Denico Autry at full speed is going to play in L.A.
Which I hope he is.
Which is they didn't put him on the game.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they do have limitations on IR. Like, you can't – I mean, you have a limitation on how many you can bring back. And I think probably Molden, like, won't be able to come back if you look at who else could come off. So, like, that's part of why they didn't put him on there. But until he's back, boy, them affecting quarterbacks just seems and you know, the funny thing is, actually, I thought early yesterday, Bud Dupree actually did have some really good snaps.
He did.
And then I didn't see him for a while. Yeah. Tyler says, Robbie, if you think Vrabel won't think he's smarter than everyone and bring back Downing and Aukerman, you're crazy. Vrabel's loyal to a fault for some reason that I'll never understand.
Maybe.
It's a small sample size, though. Let's remember that, you know, with Vrabel as a head coach in, like, tough decisions like that. Last year, I thought there was a chance that Downing might that they might move on. They didn't.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If I had to guess, I think you're probably right, but I'm also not convinced of it. You being Robbie.
Yes. Michael in the text line says, I think we're ready to have the conversation that Dennis Daly is the worst player in the league. Not just offensive tackle, but straight up the worst NFL player this year. I don't know about that.
There's other players on this team who aren't playing there,
yeah.
And he is. So
what does that tell you?
Yeah. Look, he's a backup. He's a backup offensive tackle.
I will say this: he got torched. Pass protection, he is awful. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He did have a couple good blocks on some big Derrick Henry runs yesterday.
The 50-yarder. Yeah. He had the key block in the 50-yarder. See,
we'll give him credit.
There you go.
But man, it's been rough in the pass protection.
He's a backup tackle who is forced to be a team starting left tackle.
But, hey, I remember when people were yelling at us about, hey, there's no drop-off from Taylor Lewan to Dennis Daly. Really?
Who said that? Okay. Do you have a name? We need receipts.
No, it's a long time ago. I got to go find
it. I remember that.
No drop-off. Okay. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans and the Jags up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Jags. The Jags win 36-22 yesterday at Nissan Stadium, 615-737-1025. Alex from Montreal on the text line says, how many years have tight ends been killing this defense? And certainly yesterday, I mean, Evan Engram went nuts yesterday. And I think they were talking about this on the CBS broadcast. I'd have to do some digging into this. Apparently the Titans heading into the game had given up the fourth most yards to a tight end in the league. So I'll take CBS's word on that. Did not help that average yesterday. 11 catches, 162 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Evan Engram. And an interesting strategy by the Titans a couple times, just not covering him at all out there.
I mean, he's no Jack Doyle, but he looked great. I like Evan Engram, by the way. He's really good. It's part of an intriguing offense there in Jacksonville. They do have some pieces. Not like Zay Jones also, by the way, dropped another TD and dropped he wasn't great, but he was also getting open. I mean, those two guys, 27 targets between them, Engram and Jones. You throw in Kirk, there's 34 targets.
Yeah.
And between the three of them, they had about 300 yards receiving. But, yes, the tight end play in particular killed them. I want to go to Ken and Waverly. And, by the way, this is awesome. It says, at what point is it time to start a rebuild? Do we wait until the roster is completely diminished, or do we start now while we still have a few key positions covered? Start with Vrabel. He's got to be inching close to that hot seat. Now, I want to point out that on Friday, Ken said – it's a good move on the Vrabel, on the Robinson firing. Vrabel's going up. I'm sure the next couple of years he'll be solo GM. One game and you've got him on the hot seat, Ken, from Waverly. I did not expect Vrabel hot seat talk today.
I did not.
But you know what?
It's a bad game.
We poo-pooed all the John Robinson hot seat talk just a week ago.
Yes, we did.
People, he's not on the hot seat.
Deja vu right now.
You sure?
I know. Is this going to be like all of a sudden Amy's like, yep, you're out too, Mike. Todd Downing, you're in charge.
I had this decision made too for a while, yeah. And there's no point waiting anymore.
A day after I gave both of you 5-year extensions, I decided I was actually going to be firing you in the next year. Thank you. Jim Irsay, eat your heart out.
Liam on the text line says, Herbert might throw for 500 yards against this defense. He might. We'll see what happens coming up on Sunday. They're a team right now that is – They're a mess, and there's with the way the roster's constructed, but also the injury situation makes you wonder how capable are they of digging themselves out of this anytime soon. And Joe, I will say, like, do you feel, how much differently do you feel about the AFC South race today than you did this time yesterday before the game was played? I mean, I would be very surprised if the Jags are the team ending up winning the division. I mean, they got to play the Cowboys coming up next week. Although Houston played the Cowboys pretty well yesterday.
Should have won.
But I'd still be surprised if the Titans don't win the division. But I will say, like, I could absolutely see in this being way closer and way more dangerous for them than it should be. It already is that, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, the fact that we're talking about an AFC South race at all.
I know.
It's been a long time because it was over. We stopped talking about it because it didn't exist. So yesterday made it exist again. And and the Titans weren't really, there's so many things after a loss like this, and no one was really into, like, dealing with this. You know, I asked a couple different people about it, like Beyer, but it's like, I mean, you guys may not have been thinking about this. You're thinking about winning. Like, Beyer was like, I just care about winning, beating the Chargers. Like, that, I get it. And that's how you should be. You should be focused. Each week, what you should be able to do is focus on your job and not have to deal with some massive news story that doesn't have to happen. But anyway, you're focused on the week to week, what you're trying to do. But anybody who was looking at their situation internally had to know, win this game and it's over. And you have four games, which is, again, more than anything, a commentary on the terribleness of this division. But yes, you have four games to get your crap together and rest whoever you need to rest. And what does that mean in a playoff game? I have no idea. But I bet you have a better chance after that kind of month than you're going to have now, when you're going to have some guys probably rally up and play even though they're banged up in some of these games, because you have to win now. The Titans have to – I mean, if the Titans lose one of these three and the Jaguars win two of these three, the Jaguars can play them and beat them and win the AFC South and send the Titans home for the holidays in the finale.
Yeah. I mean, if you're the Titans right now – I mean, you got the Chargers coming up. You still have the Texans on your schedule, which you feel good about. And you got the Cowboys. I mean, right now, based on the team that's trotted out there the last 2 weeks, you tell me, how do you think that's going to go between the Chargers and the Cowboys? Now, that doesn't mean that that's exactly how it's going to play out. But if they're not any better than they've been the last 2 weeks on defense, they're going to get 45 points put up on them. I mean, they're in a tough spot right now with their schedule.
Yeah, now the Jet. It's interesting because the schedules are very similar.
Yeah,
and I'd probably give the Titans the edge because the Jags have to go to the Jets, and the Jets play really good defense.
They do.
The Jets, you know, are limited offensively, but they both have the Texans. So let's say, okay, so there's one of the two that wins that Jacksonville needs. Basically, it comes down to, is Jacksonville going to beat either the Cowboys at home or the Jets on the road? And they may well not. But then how long does it take to actually get to the point where you're safe? I mean, you know, is it just come down to, like, okay, in the finale you don't have to worry about it? That's still, you know, three games that are a lot more stressful than they were going to be. They were going to be not stressful.
LD from McMinnville says, honestly, I don't blame the players at this point. Out of the 22 starters, maybe 11 are legit NFL caliber starters. Practice level players starting on any team would struggle. This from LD. William from Madison says, you don't fire the George Michael of Wham. Thank you,
right.
William.
That's right.
We could bring that back up. It was a week ago today. We started talking about Wham.
It stinks because thought we'd have years of Ray Rob ahead and we could make Wham jokes the whole time. And now we can't.
Right? We just got there. We just started it in that day.
Yeah. God, is that a coincidence? No, I'm not going to go. Yeah.
Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line says, I know it's one game, but I'm telling you, our winning seasons are over for a couple of years. Amy needs to trade Henry to a Super Bowl contender. We're wasting him. Trade everything. She royally screwed this whole franchise firing Robinson. I can just feel it. Also, I'm rooting hard for the Jags to beat us out. Their record isn't who they are. They'll be contending for first in the AFC South for the next few years. They honestly look like they're hitting on something special. This from Dustin. Now, Dustin, do we believe you're actually rooting for the Jags? Come on. What are we doing?
No. And also, are you saying that Amy's about to be Jerry Jones and is going to be doing the trading too? Is it going to be Amy? We have not discussed the possibility of Amy Adams Strunk as GM. Owner GM.
She made it clear.
It happens
to
in Dallas.
Teresa Walker the other day that she's fine waiting. If she needs to wait till February, she'll wait.
Which is, I think that's sensible.
Yeah.
And by the way, then.
What do you find a GM?
Why did you fire him? Because I heard some people last week like, well, you get a little head start. Head start on this process. I think it's smart to wait. I will say that is, if you want to take a positive, I know we have to go to break, but I will say that's probably the most encouraging comment she gave to Teresa in that interview in terms of if you're a Titans fan, which is that, like, it sounded like someone who really wants to get a good GM.
Agreed.
So maybe this isn't going to be Vrabel, the Mike Tater, just making every call. Because I don't think you're going to get a top GM if they think they're going to come in here and basically just work for Vrabel.
I think
that that's an encouraging sign. But, yes, wait till February. Makes sense. Okay. And then, again, why'd you fire him now?
On a Tuesday in the middle of the week. 615-737-1025. Jags hammered the Titans yesterday, 36-22. More of your thoughts at 615-737-1025 coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. We got a little Monday night football action tonight. The New England Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals. Patriots are favored by 1.5. I'm going to take the Patriots minus the 1.5. I just don't think the Cardinals have put much together this year. And the Patriots are slowly but surely coming into form. And listen, Superbook is going to help you guys make your parlays pop this holiday season. You want to win a little extra cash for all that holiday shopping you've been doing. So win some money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. So all you have to do is place a three-team football parlay. I just give you one game. Then we can take a look at Thursday Night Football. You got San Francisco, the 49ers, and the Seattle Seahawks. I think Purdy is figuring out his way with the San Francisco 49ers. So give me the 49ers minus the 3.5. And if you also want to throw in a bowl game in there, there's a bunch coming up. But the bonus is courtesy of Superbook Sports, and it is a $10 voucher. So rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Every dating app swap is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.